Hello, my name is Dr. David Morrison Love, and I'm a lecturer at the School of Education in the University of Glasgow in Scotland. And the purpose of this podcast is really to discuss some of the thinking in a recent paper entitled Towards a Transformative Epistemology of Technology Education. I suppose I have to begin by being upfront and honest and say that whilst I was writing this, I had the sage words of a former colleague of mine who warned against entitling papers with the word towards at the beginning, as in his estimations it suggested an inability to get to the point. My hope obviously here is that I've managed to do this despite the title. But I think technology education is a fascinating and critical subject area. You hear discussion along the lines of the fact that for a long time it's perhaps been misunderstood. My own inclination here would be possibly to reframe that notion to one that recognises a complexity and really the idea that it can be understood in a great many ways. And I think within schools it's been subject to sort of hierarchical and historical perceptions about the subject. And I think that there are new challenges here also in the face of an ever-increasing STEM agenda, which we see in a number of countries now. So in a sense, the historical issues of curricular place, role and identity, I suppose, are still here. And certainly one of the things this paper attempts to do, I suppose, is to draw on a range of philosophical thinking from a number of areas in order to sort of reconceptualise these things in a manner that is, you know, sympathetic and useful to classroom teaching and to the types of decisions that affect pupils within the subject. So, as was mentioned, STEM education and thinking about STEM education has definitely grown in interest recently, though it's not necessarily that new a concept. This certainly provides the basis, I suppose, for conceptually anchoring the paper. I always think that STEM is one of these things, it's very, very easy to say. It's a nice catchy acronym and it hides a multitude of serious complexity. The type of complexity that affects greatly, you know, how effective certain approaches to learning and teaching are within classrooms. And I think one of the biggest points of interest is the fact that you have this very commonly spoken about subject grouping, you know, of subjects that are characteristically associated with each other, but actually quite different in nature. And though, I mean, it was out with the scope of the paper to undertake a very developed analysis of the differences of science, maths, and technology and engineering. You know, that would be a lifetime of an undertaking. But I think teasing out the main epistemic differences is a necessary starting point to begin to understand the subjects. And I'm acutely aware that we talk a lot about interdisciplinary learning. And I think a necessary prerequisite that's often overlooked is this requirement to first and foremost have a solid and you know, workable understanding of the disciplines individually, you know, as they are, in order to provide yourself with a solid foundation to make informed decisions about approaches to effective interdisciplinary learning and teaching. So the paper builds up a number of arguments, one of which relates to this idea that technology is almost inextricably linked in some ways, or in a lot of ways rather, to the material world, whilst science, if you like, has a concern with understanding the mechanisms and the working of the natural world. Technology really is to do with the man-made environment on one level. On another, it's to do with people. And I think that's a really important consideration to bear in mind, certainly brought out in the paper through references to work by people such as Clive Lawson. I think that the social side of technology is going to be critical in considerations as we move forward. So ultimately, this paper ties together the material connection with technology and the people connection with technology in the form of the metaphorical paradigm into a pathway, an ontological pathway. And this was done in no small part to try and open up greater consideration about the nature of technological knowledge. Now, whilst scientific knowledge is validated and arrived at through external processes of investigation and measures of reliability and validity and so forth, there's an argument which this paper capitalizes on that technological knowledge really arises, I suppose, to use the terms of this paper, for pupils as they move along this ontological pathway. At one end of the ontological pathway is an artifact and an ill-defined conceptual ontological form. As they move along the pathway, then the artifact becomes increasingly ontologically well-defined before ultimately being realized in its enduring physical form. And as the translation between conceptual and physical progresses towards what becomes a viable outcome or technological outcome, then those transactions between conceptual and physical manifestations provide a rich and key source of technological knowledge for pupils within classrooms. And I suppose, I don't know if it goes so far as to say controversially, but one of the specific stances that the paper does adopt is this notion that, you know, within a technology classroom, if things aren't realized in a physical form using this interaction with materials, they aren't materially realized, then I would go so far as to say that pupils can't be doing technology. I would also argue that they would struggle to develop their own technological capabilities. And I think that at the level of the classroom, and this is what we've got to be careful with in considerations such as this, it's important to look at technology in the wider societal sense. It's unlikely that pupils are going to be manufacturing microprocessors in a classroom. But it's notable also that they rely wholly and utterly on materials. So the high-low-tech thing is still valid in terms of this material relationship. But it doesn't preclude other types of activity taking place in technology classrooms. They may do mathematical problem solving. There may be a whole range of other different types of conceptual thinking that goes on. And it's not also to say that everything that children do in a technology class has to be realized in a physical form. That's also not true. But what the paper does argue is that this is a necessary component of a range, but it's almost a conditional component of technology education. Now, I suppose the risk, as I take a moment to think back over what I've only just said, might be an argument that this is quite reductionist, and that it perhaps casts technology in a historical stereotype of simply making stuff. And on one level, personally, I don't necessarily have a huge problem with that. However, I would also argue that there are a number of additional distinctions that we have to acknowledge here. And I think one of the things that the paper considers is, you know, this idea that making things can belong in a lot of different realms of activity, particularly in arts and sculpture. It could even move into more conceptual forms, such as the creation of music and soundscapes, and all of which are examples of highly, highly creative and wonderful processes. But I think one way in which technology can differ is to consider the purpose of the outcome. There's a lot of discussion in the literature about goal thrust of technology, and this leads into things, ontological discussions about function and about artifact, all of which the paper draws upon quite heavily. However, there is an argument that pupils in a classroom who navigate this ontological pathway towards a solution which is fixed in terms of its intended systems of use, something that they would have to consider in its development, and which also subscribes to this idea of metaphorically extending human capability, have achieved something that's perhaps distinctly different to a pupil in an art class who has created a sculpture. Now, this difference necessarily hinges on the notion of purpose in what the resolved object is or artifact is. In the case of a sculpture, it could be argued more convincingly, in my opinion, that it fulfills a cultural, social, or perhaps even emotional function for people. And that would stand in contrast to an outcome that's more technological in the metaphorical sense alluded to in the paper. Finally, I think it's really important to state that whilst the paper does present this notion of an ontological pathway as a means of pupils building up technological knowledge and capability, there are obviously a whole range of additional considerations associated with this. And in as much as it presents these ideas, it's really also my hope that it would spur additional discussion and perhaps move some of these ideas forward in different directions. And I'm always really, really happy to hear from people who have interests in similar areas. So please do get in contact with me about any of this, and I hope you enjoy reading the paper and that it gives people some food for thought. Thanks for listening.